This possibility to be aware that we're aware. It is part of our human capacity to have that possibility. And yet it is often a capacity that we've not necessarily appreciated or recognized so clearly. It feels helpful to talk about it because it is often something that isn't talked about so much, especially in our world, not in our growing up often, not something that is highlighted for us in our schools. And yet it is something that our minds can do, and it has some usefulness to notice it. It has some support for us in noticing it. So partly it's useful to talk about it, to begin to describe it in ways that we can, because it's not easy to describe. Just words talking around it. But even just talking about it's possible to be aware that you're aware can help the mind to be able to recognize that it can do that. It does that at times. In fact, our minds will naturally do that sometimes. Be aware that we're aware. So it can help us to notice it. Sometimes if something is pointed out through language or some way of pointing to an experience that we haven't clearly recognized, that can help our minds to be able to recognize it when it's happening to us. And not having it described, not having it named, sometimes makes it a little harder to actually recognize as an experience. So this talking about it can be a way to support us to begin to see that capacity, recognize that it happens. It's not that awareness of awareness is somehow better than awareness of objects. It's not that that's the state of mind we're going for in this practice. And it's almost more like talking about it, we begin to stumble into the experience of it. At times, that's definitely what happened for me. Practicing with Sayadaw in Burma, becoming aware, in one particular case, becoming aware of not only awareness, I had seen that. Being aware of awareness, I'd seen being aware of objects, but in this particular case, it was more of that knowing the objects and the awareness simultaneously. And what the mind was aware of was a kind of a reaction, a unpleasant sensation, and a not liking of that. And then there was the awareness of all of it, and all of it was so clear. And in that moment, the clarity of the awareness seeing that. It was a kind of awareness that was not judgmental. It was just curious. So taking in that side of the experience, the non-judgmental, curious piece, That's very freeing, knowing the freedom of the awareness that just recognizes, that just reflects. It was very freeing. And I thought, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I spent the next couple of hours trying to make it happen. I had stumbled into it. The mind had recognized, oh, this is what's happening. It knows the object, it knows the reaction, it knows that it's aware, all of it simultaneously. There was a little bit of excitement. I don't think I noticed the excitement. There was the this is cool, which I noticed but didn't really understand as being craving. And the idea arose of this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I'm supposed to be trying to do. And I spent the next couple of hours giving myself a huge headache trying to create that state. And then I went and reported this whole thing to Sayadaw, you know, the whole thing, what I just described to you. And he kind of laughed and said, you know, you don't have to try to make that happen. He said, just notice. Awareness will sometimes be noticing the objects. Sometimes it'll be aware of awareness. And sometimes it'll be aware of the entirety of it. Just notice what it is, how it's happening. So, you know, there's the experience, the object, the awareness of it, and it's kind of like the experience or the knowing of that whole thing, the awareness of that whole thing can more land on the object, take in the details of the object, can more be curious about the being aware side, or can be kind of curious about the whole thing of it. And it's no one is necessarily better than another, because that non-reactive quality of awareness, we can be completely knowing the detail of the object of experience and still have that non-reactivity. We can be stepped back into the awareness and have that non-reactivity. Different experiences at different times that might feel like. At one point, Sayadaw asked me, you know, what is it like for you when there isn't, you know, when there isn't reactivity? And what is the experience like? What's happening there? What's going on? And I explored that and noticed that sometimes it felt like the awareness was right inside of the experience, like no separation between what was happening and the knowing of it. And sometimes it felt like there was space, like there was a step back. It felt like there was space between what was happening and the awareness of it. And in both cases, there was the recognition of the mind is, there's no problem here. Either way was fine. The mind was able to observe and be with. So sometimes it had that experience of the awareness being so in the middle of experience, and sometimes felt like separated from the experience. Often I think the first ways we really touch into the awareness of awareness is with that feeling of separation. That sense of there's space and then there's objects in that space. And that's a kind of a clear way, in a way that we recognize the difference between the awareness and the objects. And because of that experience at times of the separation, I think often the first ways we stumble into awareness of awareness is with that sense of that separation. And we might think that that is what it means to be aware of awareness, that there will be a sense of separation. But my own exploration, discovered that no, actually, sometimes that feeling of awareness being right inside the experience, there was awareness that there was awareness there, but it didn't have that feeling of separation. There was no reactivity in the mind around the experience of being right in the middle of the experience. Sometimes Gill uses this analogy of being aware of what's going on in our minds, like being, sitting on the bank of a river and watching boats go by. And you just sit there and you can watch the boats go by, and that's like the separation. It's like, yep, there's the party boat. There's the angry boat. There's the confused boat. And it's just, there are boats floating down the river. He's also pointed out at times it can be like we're on the boat. We know the confused boat in a different way when we're on the boat. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we're caught up in the confused boat. Now, we can be caught up in the confused boat when we're on the boat. We might not even know we're on a boat. We just think we're in the world. And so that experience of that awareness being in the middle of experience, kind of the curiosity about how is the mind in relationship to that. So in this case, I was noticing no problem either way. And I went and reported that to Sayadaw because he had asked me what it was like. And so I went back and I described. And he said, those are kind of two different perspectives on the same kind of experience, the mind that's free from defilement. He said, in one case, in the case of the feeling of separation, there's kind of an interest and an awareness of the difference between awareness and the objects of awareness, that they're not the same thing. And so the difference between the two is highlighted, and that is experienced or perceived as a separation. It's perceived as a distance. The one where it feels like awareness is right in the middle of experience, he said, that's because the mind is kind of recognizing that the awareness and the knowing of it are happening at the same time, that they come together, that they're like two sides of a coin, that they are kind of part of the same experience. They're conjoined in a way. And so the mind is aware that they're happening together. And so the perception is that there's the awareness inside the experience. So it's a different perception on the experience, depending on what the kind of the mind is recognizing about awareness and the experience. So the first few times you might stumble into this experience of awareness, like me, there was a lot of freedom in there. There was the sense of it being like a whole new world of how to be with experience, and it was very cool. It was really interesting, and of course we cling to it. And so just noticing the relationship when that kind of excitement arises or that interest arises. Talk to the other. I think one of the afternoons talked a little bit about when there's an insight or an understanding, often there comes an excitement and follow on from that, some clinging and some wanting to make it happen or wanting to think about it, trying to remember it, and how we relate to that. So noticing the relationship when there's an understanding, also really helpful. Oh, there's excitement about having seen this. That excitement often follows on the experience of when there's an insight or an understanding, there's often a sense of having been let, something's let go. There's been a release from some kind of clinging, and that experience of release is it's freeing, it can be delightful, it can be relaxing, it can be opening. And so there's a kind of a pleasantness there often with insight that happens as the mind understands something. And very often it quickly moves into excitement. So sometimes we can just notice that release too. Sometimes we can just notice the experience of understanding and letting go. And just notice that. And maybe notice a little bit of leaning into that for a while. For when I first started really being aware of that experience of release, of letting go, there was a little bit of leaning into it. And I realized that trying to not lean into it was tied up in reactivity. And so I just, okay, let's just see, this is the mind is kind of leaning into this, so I'll know that. So there's a kind of, there's this release, and there's the kind of reveling in the release, is what I would say. It's kind of a reveling. So just noticing that over and over again. The mind, yesterday we talked a little bit about how mindfulness is self-correcting. So if I'm curious about that, knowing that reveling experience, at some point, if there is some attachment in there, it will be shown, it will be revealed, the stickiness of that. And that too can be seen and released over time. Another one of the reasons why recognizing awareness can be useful is because sometimes we're not actually clear, or we don't recognize we're not familiar with what awareness is aware of. We don't actually know what the object is. We're used to recognizing objects, I think mostly recognizing objects in terms of kind of precise experience, seeing an object, hearing a sound, feeling a sensation. There's often maybe one sense that's kind of primary in the recognition of an object. But there are multiple senses that come together, this creation of the sight and the smell and the context in which something is seen, all of that kind of weaves together, and we recognize objects. And we're, I think, many times more used to recognizing objects that have a kind of a delineation around them, a particular pressure, for instance, this contact of my hand against my hand. This kind of pressure there, the coolness is, there's a location for it. So there's a way almost that our minds are more familiar with those kinds of objects. I've talked a little bit about diffuse objects, a little bit about the mind can take in a broad experience. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about sleepiness or fogginess or low energy, and those are kind of diffuse objects, like the fog on a mirror in a bathroom, just the diffuseness of that. The mirror is reflecting that fog, but it's spread through a larger area. And so, you know, there are experiences like that that sometimes we're not so familiar with clearly recognizing that those experiences, clearly knowing diffuseness, clearly knowing non-clarity, essentially. So the mind sometimes is looking for what it's familiar with in terms of recognizing objects. And in my own practice, in my own experience, I found that there was this idea or belief that if I didn't know what the object was, then I wasn't being mindful. It couldn't be mindfulness if I didn't know what the object was. And over time, particularly in practicing with Sayadaw, I came to understand a little bit more the recognition of knowing that I'm aware, and the recognition that I don't always know what the object is. I can sometimes, in some states of meditation, and maybe this will sound familiar to you, it's like resting in a place where there's a lot of ease, a lot of spaciousness, a lot of calm, so aware of all of that, and a sense of knowing lots of things happening, knowing there's sounds and knowing there's body sensations, but also recognizing that the attention isn't really focused on those sounds and body sensations. And at times there's that experience, and if I'm trying to say, well, let me follow those sounds and body sensations, that can create tension in the mind because that's not actually what the mind is naturally already knowing. It's trying to do something else. But there can be those times where we don't quite recognize the object of awareness. It may be a broad object. It may be a sense of spaciousness. Or it may be taking in kind of the entirety of a landscape or the whole context of a situation, which is like the mind taking in the model of something in its mind. I just read briefly yesterday a little bit of an article that was talking about two kinds of attention, overt attention, which is the attention that we have to objects, you know, in the field of sight, for instance, you know, the attention that we have to objects that are in our field of vision, and the kind of way in which we attend to those, we create a model of those in our mind. And this article said, and yet our minds also have the capacity, when we turn our back on those objects, to hold that model in our minds. And they called that covert attention, that we could keep attending to something that we weren't actively looking at because of this model in our mind. But what is our mind paying attention to there? It's not actually paying attention to the thing in the world, it's paying attention to the model. That's a pretty subtle thing that we are paying attention to. Models can be very complex. They can be very simple, they can be very complex. And so this kind of gave me a little bit of language to talk about some of these objects that are like, you know, we don't know what we're paying attention to. They're designed actually in a way to be pretty subtle in our system, in our mind. So there are lots of times when, especially in daily life, you know, at first, the first places I saw this or noticed this kind of lack of knowing what the object was. Like I was in meditation at one point, it's like, I know I'm aware, and I see the mind is fascinated. It is completely riveted, but I have no idea what it's riveted about. It's like no clue what the mind is interested in. It was quite amazing to see that, have the clarity of knowing that I was aware and seeing a quality in the mind of interest, but not a clue what the mind was interested in. So that those first times of seeing that kind of clarity of knowing that I was aware and not knowing the object, that first happened in sitting practice more for me. But the more I practice this in daily life, the more it does feel like there's so many times I know that I'm aware. You know, sometimes there's some clarity about what I'm aware of. Like I'll see a thought, I'll see how it moves into a reaction and can just really see the kind of unfolding of something. But when there's not particularly reactivity, very often, you know, I'm not so clear. Where is the attention actually? What is the object that the mind is taking in? It seems so diffuse. It seems so, there's so much. It doesn't feel like the mind is focused on this and focused on that and focused on that. It feels very broad. And so I've learned to just accept that broad sense of receiving. You know, maybe it's receiving the field of vision. Maybe it's receiving the field of vision and sound simultaneously. I don't exactly know. But trusting that the awareness is there, and also kind of the curiosity of what's the relationship important in that moment. You know, what's the relationship to what's happening? The relationship to experience is really where suffering is created or suffering is released. So that aspect is interesting for us to notice always, the relationship. And as I've talked about, you know, not, you know, kind of jumping on that, doing it. Am I, you know, what am I aware of? What's the relationship? Kind of being a little vigorous about that. But over time in this practice, over time, what seems to happen is that checking of the attitude becomes more organic. It just becomes part of how the mind knows to attend to experience. And it does seem more and more that the mind really begins to highlight and recognize when some reactivity comes to mind, there's mindfulness right there to know it, aware of that. And also more aware of those states, those places of ease, of calm, of non-reactivity.